Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Christians, they have not lived their faith exemplifying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Actually, most non-Pentecostal Protestants express their faith in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. I didn't say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said most Protestants, they, especially non-Pentecostals, they express their faith in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. Do you hear me? Scripture worship, and I don't, you know, you might get offended, but that's okay. God bless you. Scripture worship has replaced the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in church. Amen. More time is given to polished sermons dug out of commentaries and other theological deadheads and not from the Spirit of God. More time is given to teaching and preaching than to worship. Amen. And my church, and this is now my church too, hallelujah. And we'll learn to flow. We'll finally have a stable team one day, and we'll learn how we flow. But, you know, in my church, we sometimes just worship the entire service. Amen. You know, God can do more with an anointing on something than he can a million sermons. I mean, God could touch somebody's life in worship, and that they could have heard a million Furtick and T.D. Jakes sermons and never changed. But one moment in the worship, in the presence of God, could change your life forever. Amen. So we don't want to hold worship back. And we spend more time preaching than worship. We spend more time preaching than having altar ministry. Amen. And we spend more time teaching and preaching than other time that could be surrendered to the move of the Holy Ghost, as God desires to move amongst the lampstands in the congregation. Now, I'm not taking anything away from teaching and preaching, because that is a way. Teaching and preaching is a way to bring breakthrough. It's a way to bring deliverance. And it is the power of God. God had chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. So it is a divine thing, preaching. But also worship is a divine thing too. And laying on the hands is a divine thing too. And we've so replaced, you know, we've so replaced the other things for teachings and preachings and sermons. And quite frankly, I think Tulsa's had enough sermons to fill them up for life. I mean, Brother Hagin himself said, most of the things that Jesus showed me, I have never taught or written. I've never even said it. Because you're not doing the first things that I told you Jesus said. And he said this to thousands of people, his assistant pastors, associate ministers, and they all said yes, amen, and kept on not doing what he said. Isn't that strange? They all said, yes, Brother Hagin, praise God, amen, that's right, and they continue not doing what he said. And that he even said, with all of his spiritual sons, Leroy Thompson, Keith Moore, all the Word of Faith guys, he even said, I thought the move of God is going to die. With Copeland on the front row, Keith Moore on the front row, Leroy Thompson in the front row, he says, I thought the move of God's going to die. And what are they thinking? They're just like, oh yeah, amen. I would get on my face and weep and cry and say, well, how can he say that while I'm here? What am I missing? And it wasn't until Dr. Rodney came as a young 26-year-old boy from South Africa. And he came on that stage and they were dogging him at the Bible college, making fun of him and what was happening in the meetings. And Brother Hagin walked in on that stage. And Brother Hagin said, I thought the move of God was going to die until I've seen this man of God. And he called up Brother Rodney. He laid hands on him and it shut up everybody. And the meetings continued on. And this is on video. I heard that he recently shared it on the broadcast. I heard, amen. So I bought a bunch of books on the coming revival written by Rodney Howard Brown. And I want to give that as a gift to everyone who visits our church. I want everyone who comes to our church to get a vision for revival. So we're just going to make that a free giveaway for every visitor that comes. You know, we'll just let them know what we're about. We're about revival. Amen. We're about the move of the Holy Ghost. And when he saw Brother Rodney, he's a young man. See, God doesn't qualify you because you sat under Brother so-and-so. He don't qualify you because you went to Asbury or Fuller Theological Seminary. God picks and chooses who he picks and chooses. And most of the time, it's not going to be who you would pick and choose. And we just know that with David. Right? I mean, we know that he was not the one to be picked on in the flesh. So, you know, God chose, you know, at that point, at this juncture in charismatic history, a 26-year-old boy who looks a little bit funny and has a weird African accent. But that was a God thing. God chose Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin is not, you know, you would think he's some slick-haired New York, you know, articulate orator, but, you know, Brother Hagin was a quiet man, a humble man. But God chose him. Why did he choose him? I believe it was because of love. That's why I'm glad you talked about that love. The missing ingredients. Amen. I was talking to Tom Flynn at CTN, and he was mentioning how he was with Andrew Womack a couple days ago. And I said, now that's a brother. I don't know Andrew Womack, but that's a brother you know the love of God flows through. I love that man. I don't know him, but I love, my spirit bears witness with him. Love and all the charismatic zoo, we call it charismania, you know, and all of the charismatic zoo, love really is the most important thing. Amen. Really is. And we need to make sure that we contend to fight to walk in love. That was the secret to Papa Hagin's life. Amen. And it's something that we do need to redig the well of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Scripture worship has been clothed, even the word of faith, you know, has kind of, you know, been clothed. And scripture worship has been clothed in appearance of religious righteousness. And I was so blessed to see Bill Johnson speaking at the faith convention today, the Southwest Believers Convention. Whole nother stream. And I've never listened to Bill Johnson in my life, never. But today I watched him, and I enjoyed it. And I said, wow, the word of faith, I'm word of faith, you know. But the word of faith needs that message. And one of the things he said is not about the disciplines and the regimens and the meditations and the confessions. He said, but it's a hunger for the presence. I said, wow, this is what we need to hear. Hallelujah. We need to get hungry for the presence of God once again. Amen. And that's one of the things that I'm so glad I connected with Brother Rodney about. Because Brother Rodney is word of faith. His spiritual father is Brother Hagin. He went to Rhema, South Africa under Ray McCulley. Amen. But still, he's spent these last 40 years making the presence of God and the person of the Holy Spirit just as vital as faith and in the word. Amen. So scripture worship has clothed itself in an appearance of religious righteousness. Slogans like, I'm sure you've heard this, make like a Berean. Have you guys heard that around the church? I'm like a Berean. Make like a Berean. They say stuff like make like a Berean or sola scriptura, brother. And the cessationalists' favorite thing to say is, I believe in the finality of the Holy Bible. Which sounds like, do you believe that the word of God is the final say-so in all things? That's what it sounds like, but that's not what they mean by that. That's not what they mean, amen. You can't call yourself a solid Christian, of course, if you don't bear witness to the Word of God being the final say in all things. I would agree to that. Otherwise, you're just a flake waiting to be blown around with every wind of doctrine. So, of course, the scripture has to be the final say. But what they really mean is that the finality of scripture has replaced the Holy Spirit's administrations, operations, and functions. That's what they mean. What they mean is now that we have the full canon of scripture, we don't need the Holy Ghost anymore. And that's what they mean by, do you believe in the finality of the scripture? Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They falsely teach heresies by which the large portion of the entire Protestant world at one point believed that the Holy Spirit, the administrations, operations, giftings, and functions had ceased to operate. And it wasn't until I talked to you guys about Howard Carter, my pastor's pastor, my great spiritual father, Howard Carter, who penned that first book on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the early 1900s before World War I, or actually during World War I. And before that, by and large, the entire Protestant church didn't believe in the operations of the gifts of the Spirit today. And they came up with theologies. They didn't believe the administrations, the operations, the functions were still operating. They believed that it had ceased because the New Testament had been completed. They had come together. They had voted. They had canonized the scripture. And now we don't need the miracles and the signs and the wonders. We don't need to speak in tongues and so forth. The Bible at this point became an idol. Isn't that something? That the Bible, you know, your movement could be an idol. Your prophetic movement could be an idol. And you want to dance like a ballerina and call it prophetic dancing? This is silliness. It's idol. It becomes an idol. The word of faith could be an idol. The charismatic movement could be an idol. Anti-charismatic could be an idol. King James Version could be an idol. Well, brother, I only read for the King. Baptism in Jesus' name. All these things are good, but when you make them an idol, you've now come under this, another spirit. Yes. Do you hear me? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I might agree to a lot of those things. Dancing in the Spirit's great, and I like the King James too, and you know, and the Word of Faith. So I agree to all those things. But when they become an idol, you've now surrendered to a religious spirit. And the religious spirit is the most tricky spirit. Because the religious spirit says the right things, looks righteous, acts like righteous, but really, it's another spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's become an idol, to say the least. I love the Word of God. I live for it, and I die for it. But the 66 books of the Bible do not replace the Holy Ghost. They don't replace the Father, and they don't replace Jesus. Amen. The scripture has been so stretched, twisted, and crucified to the point where they don't even know the Holy Ghost anymore. When I read the Word, I'm trying to encounter God. I'm not reading it as an idol, a religious exercise that I have to do my disciplines so I could punch in my time clock and get to heaven. I'm looking for a relationship with God through the reading of the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. They've twisted and stretched and crucified 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read that today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And today I'll be reading from King Jimmy. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 13. I love the book of Corinthians for a lot of reasons. Hallelujah. My favorite book of the Bible is Genesis. We had a fun time at lunch today, tearing apart, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Hallelujah. We got into that deep, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, and I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. He goes on to say, and I have it written, this is not King James, but I have it written in King James here. Charity never faileth. Where does that, who has a King James version with them? Where does that start for charity never faileth? Help me. It says charity never faileth. Eight, is that verse eight? Oh, is it four and eight? No, it's verse eight, I think. Yeah, eight, yes. So, okay, I'll start from eight. Charity never faileth. We all understand charity in the King James means love, right? Right? Charity never fails. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Say they shall fail. Well, I don't believe in prophets because, you know, brother so-and-so prophesied this and it didn't come to pass. Well, that's scriptural. It says here, prophecy shall fail. Am I right? I mean, it's in the Bible. It tells you prophecy shall fail. So we shouldn't be surprised if a prophecy fails. And maybe we shouldn't blame the prophet when they fail. Maybe we shouldn't blame ourselves. Maybe we should ask God, well, what happened here? It could have been anything that happened. It could have been God was tricking the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. It could have been God told you to go here and you told everyone you're going there. And last minute he speaks and says, go there. And the devil showed up there, but you were over there. Amen. But we trust God's leading in everything. Amen. So prophecy shall fail. Amen. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be... Now you notice he didn't say prophecy shall cease, tongues shall cease, knowledge shall cease. He uses different words because there's a different revelation in each one of these things. Amen. And I think by the Holy Ghost, he's letting you know prophecies will sometimes fail. Amen. So that's why you don't put your faith in prophecies. You put your faith in God. Amen. And prophecies could confirm, they could encourage, but you don't go backslide and get a six-pack of beer when Benny Hinn didn't hire you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I was going to be the worship leader over there. I'm tired of these hypocrites. Then you go to the casino. Hallelujah. Amen. God's saying, don't put your faith in that. Prophecies will fail. Just follow me. Hallelujah. No matter what, trust him. Amen. Whether their tongues, they'll cease. Whether their knowledge, it shall vanish away. That's interesting. I didn't plan to say that, but I'll just give you a little teaching right there. The word of knowledge comes like the word actually in the Greek is the English word we get for a photograph. And the Greek is something like photons or photosis, something like that, F-O-T-O. And so the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, the prophetic, will do that tonight. I'll prophesy over some of you, or all of you, we'll see, whoever wants to. But it comes as a flash, just like a camera flash. And so if you don't catch it, it vanishes away. Even when you have a dream, you'll have a prophetic dream. If you don't write it down when you wake up, 9 times out of 10, that knowledge vanishes away. Because it comes in the spirit, in the dream, and you got to capture it. So one thing you can do is if you had a dream and you're trying to remember it, you know it was deep, you know it was impactful, you know it was from God, but the carnal man isn't grabbing it. It isn't laying hold of it. You can pray in the Holy Ghost and bring that dream memories back. And then you write it down. And as you begin to write, I'm telling you, it can save your life to write down your dreams. We had a dream that our church was raided by the police and that the police had took out all of our members. And God took me one by one to show different people in our church that didn't leave. And I was sharing that prophecy to my elder in Beijing. And what happened was this guy named Ray walks up. And this guy, Ray, says, oh, what are you talking about? I said, oh, don't worry, because you weren't in the dream. You were taken away. He said, what are you talking about? And I just laughed and chuckled. Sure enough, the next week the police came. Raided the church, told everyone not to come back to church, threatened to put me in jail. And would you know everyone that in the dream that stayed in the church? And the guy who I laughed at and said, you weren't there, don't worry, he was not there again, never again. It's from that point on, I said, I have to take dreams serious, very serious. Because God is, why does God speak to the dreams? 9 times out of 10, it's because he can't get your attention when you're awake. Simple as that. He can't get your attention when you're awake. So when you're sleeping, he's now got your full attention. Amen. So knowledge vanishes away. Isn't that interesting how the Holy Spirit uses different words? Prophecy shall fail. Knowledge shall vanish. And those words unlock and discover the operations and the administrations of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? For we know in part. Isn't that interesting? We know in part. What's the knowledge gift is called what? Word of knowledge. Not the whole shebang of knowledge. Not the whole story. It's called a word. Why? Because you know in part. You see how the word of God, how the Holy Ghost through the scriptures sheds lights on the how these gifts function? Prophecies will fail. Knowledge is vanishes. You know in part. Knowledge, word of knowledge comes in part. Isn't that interesting? That's why you can't just read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. Amen. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. And I love how Bishop Mark Chirona points out that there is no prophet in the world that ever knows everything. That we all see through a dark glass. Can somebody say amen? Me and my wife in October saw there was a tidal wave coming to planet Earth and that we had to leave China because what was coming. But we didn't know it was a virus. We just knew something was coming because we know in part. We see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. In other words, as sure as I'm standing here and pinching myself and I see that I'm here, we'll see that clearly one day. And I believe there's a level of that realm coming before Jesus returns. And I believe there's a level of that realm coming even now. And even Brother Hagin prophesied about it. He said, you'll be standing up preaching and you'll see it as if it was just right in front of you. Amen. And I believe that that dispensation has started a year ago. And we could talk about that later on, why I believe that. But I believe we're coming into that now. Now abides faith, hope, charity, and these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. And there's a reason why the greatest of these is love. And it's not in my teaching tonight, but we will get to it eventually. Amen. But let me give you a little preview. Hallelujah. Love is the greatest motivation. It's the greatest motivation. I'm sorry to tell you, 9 out of 10 ministers you see, their motivation that are for the gifts and for the miracles is not because of love. It's to build their ministry. It's to give credentials to who they are. That was the misunderstanding of the Voice of Healing movement. The major teaching and the Voice of Healing movement, what's the guy in Dallas, Texas, Christ for the Nations, and the Voice of Healing, and I forgot the guy's name that led that. But the major Gordon Lindsay, thank you. The major teaching during the time of Gordon Lindsay's is that God confirms his man of God. That miracles are confirming the man of God. And that was not totally correct. Miracles supposed to confirm the word, not confirm the man. And you have a bunch of insecure preachers praying for miracles to give them some kind of confirmation that they're really God's son. When the word of God is supposed to confirm the word. Amen. Amen. And so many people seeking God for signs and wonders so they could put it on their YouTube channel and build their ministry. Give them credit. Amen. Now, anybody would read these scriptures, but who's seeking the gifts of healing? Because their heart breaks every time they see a sick person. Who is seeking the gifts of prophecy? Because their heart's broken when they meet people that lives are a mess and they have no direction and they really want to see them have a breakthrough. Not many, but that is the greatest motivation. Amen. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Now, anybody would read these verses and they would come to the conclusion when that which is perfect has come, they come to the conclusion that which is perfect surely ain't came. Especially now, with BLM and Antifa marching down the streets, busting out windows. I mean, you know, you can't go to the Sprouts without being forced to put on a mask. Surely we know that which is perfect has not come. Am I right? We kind of, it just seems like surely that which is perfect hasn't come. While there's still death, while there's still sickness, while there's still war, while there's still rape, while there's still murder, while the power of the devil has yet to vanish from the earth, we are not living in that which is perfect. Of course, knowledge and the need for prophecies and tongues and other tools given by the Holy Ghost to make it through this life will not be needed when it's perfect, but it's needed right now. Shoot, some of us need it just to pay our rent. Amen. Verse 11 goes on to say, when we see God face to face, all things will be clear. Yes, but now we know that in this imperfect life, no man can see God and live. So we're definitely not living in the time where everything is perfect. However clear this may be to us, another teaching arose, and as silly as it sounds, this belief is that, and this is the belief that most of the spiritually dead churches have, is that in the organized religions, I always tell people, if you're tired of organized religion, join this church because we are the most disorganized church in the city. Hallelujah. Every time the PPT don't work, the worship leader is sick and has a cold, and the camera's not working, the lights are flickering, the AC is on. Bless God, you know you're not a part of organized religion. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been praying to get out of organized religion. Well, here it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's taught by most mainline denominations and seminaries around the world is that which is perfect meant the compiling of the scriptures by the Council of the Nicene Creed or whatever. That's what they teach. And now we see God face to face through the 66 books of the Holy Bible. And the Holy Spirit is no longer needed in his fullness. Because we have the Holy Bible. Because we have good old English, we don't need the gift of tongues anymore. This is what they teach. It's foolishness. However, to the contrary of these Bible worshipers, the ministry of the Holy Ghost has never left the earth. If you study the Catholic Church, you'll find there's miracle workers. Even today in the Catholic Church, there were miracle workers in the 1800s. I believe even Madame Guyon, who wrote the book about meditating in the presence of God, the contemplative prayers. I believe she was a Catholic. I could be wrong, but there's Catholic people for thousands of years that prophesy, that experience the supernatural, have heavenly encounters, that speak in tongues. That's never ceased in the Catholic Church. It's only ceased in our dumb banana head American church. But it's not ceased in the Catholic Church. It's not ceased in the Orthodox Church. Do you know that every year in Greece, the Holy Spirit supernaturally lights One of the sanctuaries, there's a supernatural lighting of fire that takes place every Easter. And for thousands of years, an angel comes and lights the fire on Easter. Still happening today in the Orthodox, Greek Orthodox Church. The Coptic Church. The Eastern Assyrian Church. We talked about some of this at lunch. They've been experiencing the supernatural for thousands of years. I shared with Brad today and Chris that I met a man in Geneva from India. And I said, well, how long have you been a Christian? He said, I was born a Christian. I said, well, did your parents get saved? And how did they get saved? He said, no, my family's been saved for 2,000 years. He said, the Apostle Thomas came to my hometown and he did miracles and he planted a church. And my family members were the first ones saved under the Apostle Thomas 2,000 years ago. And so my entire family from Thomas till today, we've all been Christians. That blew my American mind away. I said, what? I mean, I got saved in 97. You know what I mean? I mean, this family, I'm the first Christian in my family. Hallelujah. And this guy has been, his family goes back 2,000 years following Christ since the apostles. Isn't that something? Imagine the things passed down, the traditions, the teachings, the stories, all the things that we miss in our shallow experience of Christianity in America. Isn't that amazing? Amen. 2,000 years since Christ. Christians around the world in different traditions have never stopped speaking in tongues. Even when I was in Switzerland, they began to tell me about the Huguenots. These were French revivalists that prayed in the Holy Ghost and had a charismatic renewal before there was ever any Azusa Street. And the king of France, because it was against the Catholic Church, he began to genocide and to kill these Huguenots. And so they fled into Switzerland. And that's why part of Switzerland is French speaking. They're all the revival, Holy Ghost filled revivalists that fled into Switzerland. And because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were gifted and anointed. So the Huguenot, the Swiss French Huguenots began to make watches. You know, the Swiss watches. That's made by the Huguenots. They began to do craftsmanships and build homes and furnitures. And these French Huguenots became the wealthiest French people in the world. And today, the French in France, they are way below the dollar value than the French that had the Holy Ghost, that received the Holy Ghost and moved in revival and spoke in tongues and prophesied, that live in Switzerland. The French in Switzerland are beaucoup rich. I think they say Switzerland, as they told me, is one of the richest nations in the world. And it's because the Huguenots, those filled with the Holy Ghost, fled with nothing. And they made great wealth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Before William Seymour. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Joel prophesied. Matter of fact, Joel's prophecy is the exact opposite of these false teachings. He says in 2:28, it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and upon my handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood, fire, pillars of smoke. God's going to show wonders in this church. Yes. Exactly opposite of what they teach. God says it's about to pick up in the last days. Amen. He said it's about to increase in the last days. He said in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. Exactly opposite of what they teach, that it has ceased because we have been so advanced we don't need it anymore. God says the opposite. He said in the end I'm going to do even more than you've ever seen or experienced. Amen. So Christians, they live a Christian life like they know the Father, they know the Son, but they don't know the Holy Ghost. It reminds me when I was with Brother Rodney in Mongolia. And he asked me, how many Mongolians are saved? And I said, well, according to the World Evangelical Society, because I just got done meeting with the heads of the church there. And I was mentoring and teaching the heads of the entire church in the nation there. And I was telling him, well, according to the World Evangelical Society, they went door to door, they did a survey, and there's a 3% Christian. And he said, I forgot how he responded, but basically it was like nonsense. I forgot the words he used, but basically he said, nonsense. I said, no, I'm serious. He says, nonsense. I said, no. I know the statistics. I've been in Mongolia 4 times a year for 3-4 years. I know the parliament members, the heads of the church. You don't know anything about this country. Listen to me. He said, nonsense. You don't know the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
And I was like, how dare you say I don't know? I speak in tongue. I'm thinking, you know. But also I'm thinking this is Rodney Howard Brown, you know. So I'm as an awkward breakfast. This was our first time meeting. You know, it was a very awkward breakfast. And then he starts crying. And I'm like, oh, no, did I just blow a tire here? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? He starts weeping at the table. He says, you don't know the Holy Spirit. He said, those numbers of those evangelical societies, they don't know who the Holy Ghost visited in some yurt in the mountain and who had experienced Jesus. They don't know who some kid walking down the street walked into a church and got saved. They don't know those things. He said, I guarantee you there's many more the Holy Spirit has in this country. And I was like, I repent for my unbelief. And then I went to a city called Choi Busan. And I met a man there. He picked me up. He was translating for me. And I said, tell me about how you got saved. He said, I'm the first Christian in the city. I said, really? He said, I got saved alone in my yurt. I said, how? He said, I was watching television and the Jesus film came on my TV. And he said, and I watched the Jesus film. I got on my knees and I gave my life to Jesus. He said, then I went outside in my yurt and I got on my knees. I lifted my hands up that evening. I looked up at the stars and I asked Jesus to come into my life and he baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And he said, and I became a pastor at 14 years old. At 14 years old, this man who never met a Christian in his life, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit and started a church. And he began to gather all the orphans in the city, and he started an orphanage at 14 years old. That orphanage today is still standing. And I went to visit the orphanage, and if you go to my Instagram, you'll see some of the videos of that. Amen. And all those kids he got saved are not on the statistic database. And that man's salvation is not on that statistic database. You don't know the Holy Ghost. What God is, I'm telling you, God is stirring in this city, people to be part of this church, and they don't even know that I'm here.
Yes.
They don't even know that the River Church is here, but God is preparing them. They've been sitting at home, not attending church. Every time they think about going to church, they don't even feel like getting up and leaving the house.
Yes.
Because God's been preparing them to serve revival. Amen.
Amen.
We want to minister today to a few people. What time is it here? It's 9:10. Are you joking? Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to minister to some of you, but I don't want to keep you too long. Let me think what we could do. Did I not tell a funny story? I promised him I'd tell a funny story. I don't think I told any funny stories. What's wrong, honey? The battery's dead? Speak. I think the Lord has struck him dumb, too. Speak. No, go ahead. What? No more memory. Memory's gone. Talk. Forget it. Forget it. I wanted to prophesy over you, but it's 9:10. I don't want to keep you too long. But we'll do that. And I won't tell you when. We'll do it. But tonight, I think we had a little bit of different flow. I think God wanted to do something with the worship here. But what I want to do is I brought this towel so I can blindfold myself. And I wanted to prophesy over you because blindfolded, so you don't know, I don't know who you are. Because I say things under the gift of prophecy that will blow your mind. And you can't say it's because I know you or someone told you because I'm blindfolded. So I wanted to do that to just kind of show you how powerful the gift of revelation is. But it's already 9:10. So we'll do that. We'll do that. Come back. And we'll do it as the Holy Ghost gives us the time and space to do it. But let's now just stand to our feet. I'm telling you, this blows your mind, you know, when we begin to prophesy. And I don't even see who it is in front of me. And I start to say things that only you know. So we'll do that. You know, when you really press into it, God gives me dates, birthdays, you know, names supernaturally. And I want to just demonstrate it because I want you to know that it's not just for the gifted preacher. That the gifts are for every single person. So we haven't got to that point yet in this teaching. Maybe we'll teach that before we demonstrate it. We'll see. But we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I just pray that somehow through these 3 days, we're plowing and building hunger. We're plowing and building hunger, Father God. And we, Lord, are just asking you to provoke us to be hungry for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're asking, Father God, you to provoke us to be hungry to drink from the wells of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father God, for the great testimonies. And I could go on and on and on, sharing all the testimonies of Howard Carter and Lester Sumrall and all the miraculous things that took place. And they're great to hear. But Father God, we want to even demonstrate them here today and for the people, Father God, in these coming meetings, Father God, and in the next several weeks. And let them know that the Holy Ghost has not lost his power. He has not withdrawn from the earth because some prophet died, but he has saved the best for last, that we are the best and the choice wineskins for this latter day outpouring, Father God. And I pray that you prepare us to use us, that you'd fill us to spill us across this city. And God, I pray you do things so supernaturally, hallelujah, that no man can get the glory for it, hallelujah, that it be totally supernaturally. And I know that even tonight, everything shared, everything done has been supernatural, Father God. And it's recorded in heaven. And I pray the fruits from it will begin to be evident and show forth in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you'd activate everyone here. And we'll do an activation and an impartation service soon as the Spirit leads us to. But we're going to activate you to flow and operate in the power and in the presence and in the wind of God. And Father God, we just thank you for stirring up the hunger, for bringing people, Father God, for gathering the hungry. And we will, Father God, impart so they can give out, Father God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Under the apostolic mantle and calling upon my life, I declare them blessed. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that the mantle and the power of God upon your children has not grown weaker, but has grown stronger for those who know who they are and stand and believe. And we believe today in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah, and he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and through him you can turn from your way of doing things to his way, and his way is the right way because he made you, and he made you for a purpose, and he knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path. Maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that can follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.